Hi everyone, it's me, Erin Carrera, the Modern Armor Girl. Welcome to my 1-2 radio show here on YouTube. Let's see, if you are watching live, thank you so much. Today's, oh gosh, calendars, you know, calendars and I are not always friends. It is Tuesday. I know it's Tuesday because my show is every Tuesday at 8 a.m. So it is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026, and you're watching live, or maybe you're watching the recording. Either way, thank you so much for coming to my premiere episode of The Modern Oracle with me, Erin Carrera. So for any of you who I've never met before, my name is Erin. I have been a psychic advisor and coach and tarot reader and astrologist over at 12listen.com since 2011. You know, this is going to be my 15-year anniversary. I cannot believe it has been 15 years, but still only 2 men, 3 homes, 2 continents, 3 continents, three continents, and I still love it, and I love what I do. So I'm really happy to be back with my show for you now. Some of you who've been around for a while know that I've had a couple of different incarnations of this show, and I decided that this time around it was appropriate to call my show The Modern Oracle, because when I started thinking about what I wanted to talk about and what I wanted to share with you, it was about how the lives we're living really are not just important, not just a gift, not just ours to co-create and work with whatever we get, but our lives and our vessels, our bodies as our vessel through this life, truly deserve the dance that we are in with the cosmos, this love affair with the cosmos. And I thought, you know, I work with a lot of people over on 12listen on everything from relationships to career to health to finance to dreams. Dream manifesting is one of my favorites. And I thought, I want to utilize all of the different skills and all of the different tools that I have amassed and learned and cultivated over these many decades into a show that I felt if I were going to go watch a radio show from some lady named Erin who works on 12listen.com, what would I want to hear from Erin? And so I basically am making the show that I want to watch. So, hey. And also because the other part of me is, you know, I'm fun Auntie Erin. I'm your fairy godmother, right? Many of you who know me know that I don't have kids. I have fur children. Well, at the moment, I don't have any fur children. Historically, I always have fur children. And I love being an aunt. I love being an aunt to my nieces and nephews so much. And this might sound weird to put it this way, but I know this is true. I love that I am the magical aunt. Do you know what I mean? Do any of you have that magical aunt, right? I mean, I'm the auntie who finds four-leaf clovers and brings you to Disneyland or Italy, or loves to know all about what you've got going on, and I want to know everything about you, and I want to see if I can help make some of your dreams come true. I love doing that, and not just for my nieces and nephews, although yes, of course, I love doing it for them. That's what I feel like half of my gig over at 12listen is, that when I am working with people, one of my goals in being of service to you is to listen to your dreams, listen to your heart, listen to what your desires are telling us, listen to what your fear is telling us, and see if I can't help you say, okay, well, I see you, fear, and I thank you for the information, but I sure as hell ain't gonna let you drive the boat. I don't know why we're driving a boat, but stick with me. So that's what I just bumped my camera and I just spilled my water. That's the other thing you're going to find out about me if you don't know me. I don't pretend like things are not happening if they are, for the most part. So I live in a very urban area. I live in Los Angeles, smack dab in the middle of the city, right by a very important hospital. You might hear a siren go by. You might not. I'm hoping this microphone is great. If we do, we're just going to send them blessings and hope that they and their loved ones are going to be well and pray for that. But yeah, when I knock the camera or knock over my glass, water, which I'm sure to do on a regular basis, we'll just laugh. So since this is the introductory show, I thought I would talk to you a little bit about why the modern oracle and what that means for you. Okay. So, you know, people, a question I get a lot is, how did you know, or when did you know that you were psychic? Which is a very odd question for me personally. I know everyone is different. Everyone has a different experience. Everyone has a different relationship to their abilities. For me, there is no singular moment where I'm like, oh, I get it. I just know things that the people don't know. It just sort of always was that way. So strange in a way now that I know, but it was just sort of always that way. Like, for example, I remember walking into the first day of kindergarten and looking across the room, and I mean, it sounds like hyperbole, but it's, or like I'm exaggerating or sort of being dramatic. I mean, you know, call a fish, but I walked in, I looked across the room, and there was a little girl, and I got kicked in the heart, and I knew she was my best friend. And I walked over to her and I sat down next to her, and I was so shy, y'all. I was a very shy little girl. I was so shy that my preschool teacher thought that maybe I had, that maybe I was autistic or that I had a developmental disability. And she told my mother, like, I think maybe Erin has a developmental disability, where I didn't. I was actually just painfully shy. Not that it would have been a bad thing if I did, or if I did, it was certainly masked very well, but later, because I did learn how to not be so shy. But for me to walk up to a strange little girl that I did not know in a kindergarten class, unheard of, unimaginable, but I knew she was my best friend. So I walked up to her, sat down next to her, and I said, are you my best friend? And she looked at me very solemnly, and she shook her head, yes. And we were best friends, indeed, until our senior year of high school. And we still are friends, friendly. I'm very proud of her. She's gone on to have a very important career as a lawyer, prosecuting attorney, won't tell you where, but because I don't think I'm supposed to. But I'm very, very proud of her, y'all. And how did I know? I just knew. But this is one of many things. So for me, it's not like there was one moment where I went, aha, that's what it is. I'm psychic. Although years later, as a teenager, as a woman in her 20s, you know, as I started to really grow in wisdom, a lot of my experiences did begin to make sense in terms of how did I do so well on tests when I am off in my imagination during class? I swear to you all, I was using my psychic abilities, my psychic abilities to answer questions, and or B, if it was an essay question, well, as you'll find out, I can talk a waterfall. So I certainly always had the gift of gab. That even though I was painfully shy, once you were my friend, man, I had your ear as long as you wanted it. So, you know, I think when it comes to calling a show the Modern Oracle, it's because this is 2026, right? And we are so blessed to live in a time where I can come to you from my apartment in my building in the middle of Los Angeles using these wonderful tools of the internet and created with Serena as my producer by Mark for our station and everyone else who's had a hand over the many, many years that we've been doing this. In fact, I wouldn't be working for One to Listen if it weren't for Hay House Radio, because that's how I heard Mark's show, and he had Kat on as a guest. And then at the very end of that episode, which I loved because I identified so many things that Kat was saying in the episode, Mark said, hey, I'm looking for psychics. So if you're a psychic, email us at ba 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 ba. And so I did. So if it weren't for these tools, how would I ever have met any of you? And we want to use these tools as much as we want to use our ancient tools and our primordial tools and our cosmic tools and all of our spiritual tools to create this beautiful life, right? So each episode is going to have a different, I decided that every month, every week would have sort of like a different cadence, but every week, the first week will be what's going on in the month ahead. The second week will be all about love and relationships. The third week will be all about health, and your physical being, and the fourth week will be all about dreams, manifestation, transformation, careers, and then the fifth week, if there is a fifth week, We will do listener questions. I will do mini readings online. I will do perhaps a tarot card pull for all of you. So that will be very interactive. And speaking of interactive, while I'm talking to you here, I want to mention that I'm not looking at the comments today because this is my first episode and I'm easing myself into doing this on YouTube. But next week, I will be looking at your comments. So thank you all so much for coming. I'm really excited you're here. All right. We will be talking a little bit about the month of June 2026. And I want to ask you all a question. How does wisdom speak to you? How does wisdom speak to you? Wisdom, of course, is a little different than intuition. Wisdom is a little different than psychic insight, psychic information. Wisdom is something I prize greatly. I have earned wherever I might have it. I have earned it. Let me tell you, just like these wrinkles, wherever I may have it, I earned it. I definitely, as a child, as a teenager, and as a young woman, I had a lot of psychic intuition, a lot of psychic insight, a natural psychic gift. And I don't want to say zero wisdom, but the percentage was very low, very, very, very low. So wisdom is something I have developed now into my middle age, into my middle years. You know, I'm in my 40s and I love it. I gotta tell you, I love being my age for a variety of reasons. I'm not saying that it's better or worse, although my particular 20s were very difficult and I would not take those back. Of course, if I could live it knowing what I know now, you know, youth is wasted on the young, hindsight is 20/20, all that jazz. But I want to know, how does wisdom come to you? Does it arrive as a hard-earned lesson? Did you journal and come to understand things? Does it come to you as intuition? As a gut feeling? And what if it doesn't have to be wisdom the way I just described it? What if it was just that you had a knowing about something that you really did want to follow? What if all of this, psychic intuition, psychic gifts, wisdom, what if it doesn't come just through your own efforts, but as a gift? The way I mentioned, my psychic abilities were a gift, sometimes a gift and sometimes less of a gift. Why do I say that? Because I was just thinking about once I was totally in love with this guy, but I knew he was not the one for me, but I really wanted to insist that he was. And so I would really try to convince myself that he was the one, and he was so not. And thank God, by the way, when I think of my wonderful husband who I've been with now for not quite as long as one to listen. I've been with him for, this year will be 14 years. When I think of that, I'm like, oh, thank God that other guy wasn't the one. No offense, but thank God. Thank God. Thank the goddess. And I had an opportunity at one point to literally go crazy insisting that he was the one, even though my whole visceral system, my body knew, he ain't. But wisdom, intuition for you, does it sometimes come not through the self, but through an external force, a conversation? Maybe you go see a psychic. Maybe you go see an expert in whatever you're looking to do. Therapist, career coach, nutritionist, personal trainer, singing teacher, piano teacher, writing coach, whatever it is. What about dreams? What about tarot cards and astrology? What about, this is one of my favorite ones because I spend a lot of time driving and in traffic. What about license plates? Did license plates ever talk to you? They definitely do to me. What about songs? A song that comes on the radio that you haven't heard in years, but it's got a message for you, right? I'm bringing all of this up because one thing I've come to learn is that so much of our psychic abilities, our spiritual gifts, and the purpose of these gifts, to know thyself, we'll talk about that in a moment, to know other as best as we can, to know the world, to be in this wonderful dance with the cosmos, And ultimately, to create the life you want to create, or if you're extremely enlightened, to be in the life that you are in, which, I mean, we can count on probably one hand how many people that truly applies to. It's not for all of us, but there are some people walking among us who are simply just being in this life. That's a whole other level. That's a whole other episode. To me, this is so much about relationship. And I don't mean just relationship with, say, your romantic partner or your mother or your best friend. I mean relationship to my relationship to all of you and how I'm feeling the energy of a few people listening and watching, and or people who are watching in other times. How do I do that? I'm tuning in to the energy and the quiver as I feel it right now, and I'm listening deeply. I'm listening deeply, right? I'm listening deeply and I'm responding. And that's what we're always doing, whether that's proprioception, right? Our feeling of our bodies in space, our understanding and listening to ourselves. Even when we're not listening, our brains are still listening in the background, clocking all the, I can hear a little siren way off in the distance. I can hear one of my neighbors turning on the water, running the water. I can hear one of my other neighbors. Sounds like a dryer is going. I'm sure you can't hear that. I have really bionic hearing. I know I got it tested. It's not me bragging. It's just true. And they say you can only hold 4 sounds in your consciousness at one time, but your brain is clocking all of these different sounds. So listening deeply and understanding our relationship to this world is a skill, and what we pay attention to grows. And if we want to grow our lives and grow ourselves and grow our relationships, then we can pay attention to that and listen deeply. I mean, after all, I do listen. I do work for a website called One to Listen, right? But if you think about it, some of the best psychics and mediums and spiritual advisors, they are listening deeply, whether they are clairaudient. And I don't mean just listening with our ears. I do mean like when I used to do massage therapy, I always felt like I was listening with my hands, because what I was doing is I was receiving information through my proprioceptors, through my nervous receptors, which would receive information from the other person. Now, maybe that was about pressure, or I would pick up all kinds of things, you know, people's pain, people's little surprises, their little, what is that called, frissant, where they get the little goosebumps. You know, I would pick up all kinds of information through my hands. I generally always massaged with my eyes closed. And people would sometimes say, oh, your eyes are closed. And then I would open my eyes and they'd be looking at me. Back when I used to do massage therapy. We're listening, right? And think about it. This is true for so many professions. What is one of our number one complaints about medical doctors? Trust me, I love my medical doctor. I have a great doctor. One of my best girlfriends is a radiologist. This is not about what they're intending to do, but a lot of doctors, we know, they're just not good listeners, right? The greatest musicians, great listeners. They must listen so deeply to that music they're creating. Great actors. Watch Marlon Brando. They're great listeners. Their attention and their presence is so right here, listening. So right here. Thinking about Oscar Isaac, another great listener. Really not bad to look at. Don't tell my husband I said that. Right? Deep listening, deep, deep listening. I'm guessing that the people that you really want to share your life with, either they're great listeners or you really wish they were better listeners, right? Where are we putting our attention? What are we listening to? And therefore, how does spirit find us? How does wisdom enter into us? How does psychic information come to us, right? And that's what the modern oracle is all about. Not necessarily having all the answers, but developing tools to receive the information and then the wisdom to know what to do with it, right? If possible, when possible, if there is anything to do with it. So, I wish for you and for all beautiful souls on this earth, which is all souls on this earth, all beings on this earth, whether that's an oak tree or a fig or you, I wish for all of us to have a beautiful, amazing, full, spirit-filled life. And that doesn't necessarily mean always easy. It's not that I wish for people not to have an easy life, but I would never want to take someone's life away from them. You know, when I was little, I used to always weep and cry for other people's pain. I was very sensitive to other people's pain. And I used to go outside. I lived next to a huge forest growing up in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. And that woods is no longer there. It's now all housing. But at the time, I would run outside and I would go into the trees and I would walk among the trees and would look up. You know, there was a lot of oak trees and there were all these beautiful aspens, a lot of birch, maple trees. We had a lot of beautiful trees in our woods and in my yard that would become the woods. And I would ask if I could please take on other people's pain so that they wouldn't have to feel it. I don't know where I came up with this. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Honestly, children astound me. One of my nephews is 7. And the idea that I came up with that at 7, and I believe I did, because of course I talked to like my 7-year-old nephew. It's like, how on earth do you know these things? How on earth do you come up with stuff? And I'm always amazed at what my teenage nieces and nephews are doing and thinking and talking about. I just find them so smart, so much smarter than I was, so interesting. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's like, oh my gosh. I just think they're so fascinating. But I know now, as a grown woman, that me taking on someone else's pain must be done only with permission and responsibly and in a healing situation, right? As a massage therapist, one of my jobs was to search for people's pain and then through the massage, highlight it, and then through the massage, give the body an opportunity to release, to reformat, to let go of tension, let go of toxins in the muscle tissue. I did a lot of connective tissue work. So to allow that connective tissue to melt and maybe therefore get a chance to heal and reformat in a different way. You know, I'm not talking about like Terminator 2 style stuff. I'm just saying that was the job. That's the gig. And a lot of the work I do on One to Listen is often very similar. Listen for someone's pain, show where that pain is, and then offer tools to heal from that pain if someone wants. But I would never want to take away something that belongs to someone else without permission. And none of us are going to escape life if we're alive, so we're all going to have pain. And pain, unfortunately, as a fact of life, is also one of the ways we learn and one of the ways we develop wisdom. And so I would never want to take away somebody's learning and somebody's wisdom. Of course, I hate that some people have such an extreme version of it, or that we go through extreme versions of it. But I don't think we should ignore it, just like I didn't ignore my water glass, right? It's up to here. I spilled a lot of water down there. What are you going to do? You're going to drink what's left, right? So when I'm talking about my hope is for all of us to live a full, spirit-filled life, I want us to take the difficult parts and I want us to be with them and find tools to heal from them. If it's appropriate, sure, avoid it. That too, right? Like, I don't speed anymore because I've had too many speeding tickets in my younger years. And so I just don't want the pain of the speeding ticket, right? I mean, I drive like my grandmother in a Lincoln Town car. Like I leave 3 spaces between me and the other cars. I drive slow. I'm not too slow. I drive with traffic, but like I'm not a speedy person. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is because I've had car accidents. I don't need any more car accidents. Number two is because I just, man, I live in Los Angeles. And other parts of my life, I live in Rome. As my I'm married an Italian man. And traffic is not going away, and I don't want to freak out every day I get in a car, which is not every day, but every day that I have to go somewhere because traffic is there. Traffic is there. So I've learned, this is wisdom, right? Now in my 40s, well, just don't overbook your life as much as you can. Leave early, drive slow, enjoy the ride. Call your mother while you can, right? So what was the point of that? Because that is something that I avoid. The pain of getting angry in traffic as much as possible. But when I'm talking about living a spirit-filled life, I know that I'm somebody who has done a lot of extreme things. I've gone to India and spent months altogether working with a guru in an ashram. And I don't think that's extreme, it's just extreme compared to what a lot of people are able to do or choose to do, because I really wasn't financially able to do it. I was just absolutely insane and I just went, no money, just went. Or same thing with how I moved to LA, right? I'm from a small town in Minnesota and then I lived in Minneapolis and I just decided, I didn't just decide, I always wanted to live in LA and I always knew I would. And so even though it took me a minute, and so many people told me, well, you're not going to last. Who do you think you are? What are you going to do? And I didn't have a job. I knew barely anyone. I knew the girl I was moving out here with, and I didn't really know her. And I knew one guy kind of that I had met when I had a band in Minneapolis and we toured. And I had met some guy in my band who lived here, and I told him I was going to move to LA. And he said, well, when you do, look me up, call me up. And I did. That's a fun, magical story, in fact, for another time. So I know that I have taken a lot of risks, and I know that as a human person, I am a bigger risk taker than a lot of people. Aries moon, here we are. That's a part of my personality. But I don't think everyone needs to do such extreme things to have an amazing life. I don't think everybody needs to move into a yurt or, leave their life and blow everything up unless that is appropriate. I think that we get to have beautiful, spirit-filled, spirit-led lives right here. It's very interesting being married to someone from another country, because his perspective on our culture is just different, right? Obviously, he came here to this country because he loves this country. He's from Italy. And he used to be in the Carabinieri, which is like the Italian version of the FBI, National Police Force. But they also have a division that worked with the NATO peacekeepers. So he worked as a very young man. He was a NATO peacekeeper with the EU, the European Union Police Force, and he was stationed in Bosnia with the US Army. And he said he loved the Americans. He loved their style. He loved the way they did things. He loved, in particular, their can-do spirit, that the Americans would say, let's do these things, and then they would do them. And he loved that people could rise through the ranks no matter what their class was. Now, Italy has a very healthy middle class, but just a slightly different, old school European culture, less so now, but then 20 years ago, and certainly than 50 years ago, when it comes to things like, if you say, hey, I'm going to quit being a police officer and I'm going to go be an actor and a screenwriter, no way. Whereas in America, probably a lot of people would say, sure, good luck, right? Maybe like in my home, small hometown back in the old days, because I'm old, I'm not that old, but I'm old, old enough. A lot of people were like, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? But now in modern times, in the day and age of YouTube and the internet, people are like, hey, great. My daughter's an influencer right here in our own little small town, right? Anything's possible in a whole new way. And who knows what's going to be impossible, what will be possible 10 years, 20 years from now. But one thing that I have heard and learned and seen myself being a little bit part-time Italian, is that we here, at least in the United States, and I'm sure there's people listening from all over and watching from all over, but we here get so wrapped up in the idea that if we're not the best or the richest or the most famous, or if we haven't achieved all of this by 27, and if we don't have perfect bodies, then our lives are not worth anything. I think most of us are losing that now. I think what I just said is less true in 2026 than it was in 2020. Thank goddess, because I feel like A, it's impossible for everyone. Every actor is not going to be Meryl Streep, right? I mean, she's a national treasure, but it doesn't mean they're not great. And it doesn't mean that if you're doing community theater in St. Cloud, Minnesota, that you don't have an awesome career, right? It means that if you are blooming where you are growing and you are happy or creating a life that makes you feel spirit filled, that is what I want for you. That's what I want for everyone. That's all I ever want for everyone. You see? So I'm hoping my intention is for this show to offer some solutions to that. And like I said, with different categories, so that, for example, next week we're going to talk specifically about love and relationships. And then the week after, we'll be talking about the physical vessel, health, also things like, using our spiritual tools for health, and then the next week, manifestation, careers, etc. Right, guys, I came up with, oh, I want to say like a 20-page outline. I last night started working on what I wanted to say during my introductory episode, and I just sort of, there's a saying in Italian, mi sono lasciata prendere la mano, which means I really let myself get out of hand. I really, I don't think that I'm going to get through my entire outline with you today, nor should I, because there's so many things I want us to talk about, and I want future episodes to be much more specific so that you can really get some of these tools, so you can really receive some different ways of looking at things, whether that's a writing process for healing, or a guided meditation, or a ritual that we can do for the summer solstice. I really want to offer some of these tools. But I do like that I wrote 20 pages of notes on why all of this is valuable. By all of this, I mean, how do you receive wisdom? How do you receive your psychic intuition? What do you do with this kind of information? Why are you interested? What do you want in life? Who are you and who are you becoming? Why is it important to think about who you are becoming? Is it? Can we shape that? What can we do to integrate the past and forgive the pain and the people who caused us pain where appropriate, if appropriate. And what does that mean? And how do we forgive ourselves? And how do we make peace with things about ourselves? And how do we radically accept ourselves? And how do we radically love ourselves? And what do we do with that information then for creation? For creating the next vision for our life? For relationships with people and the sun and the moon and the stars and books. Well, nobody reads books anymore, do they? I do. You should see my to-be-read pile. It's crazy. Not nobody. Many people read books. There's a whole BookTube. I'm just saying, like, they're not as popular as they were, say, 10 years ago. So I want to talk a little bit before we close out, because I'm skipping a bunch of sections because 20. I have to put my glasses on to tell you how many pages this was. Guys, this was 23 pages. What? Anyway, I want to talk about Oracle, the word, not the company, not Larry Ellison. No, I want to talk about the word Oracle and modern Oracle. Now, the Oracle itself, right? When I was young, I was mildly obsessed with Greek mythology. I believe it's because my dad had taken a bunch of Greek mythology courses in college and had a lot of different Greek mythology books in our library in our basement. It was just one wall of the entire basement, but we have always, I've lived with millions of books all my life. And I didn't really understand the myths. I just remember I loved to open the books, and there were pictures of old Greek statues. And let me tell you, as a woman now who has studied the mythology a bit, and in fact, my husband and I just took a great courses on Greek mythology and Greek society, and I've learned a lot, and I disapprove greatly of a lot about Greek society. We can get into that some other time if you're interested, but I don't want to turn this into an academic thing. But I loved, especially, the magical parts of the Greek stories. Now, there was the famous oracle at Delphi, and above, now the oracle at Delphi lived in a cave, and you would go to this mountain in the cave, and then you would ask the questions, and then the oracle would read, right? Read the signs. But above the cave, there was a writing inscribed, and the writing translates to "Know thyself." Know thyself. So the oracle at Delphi would emerge from this cave, and you, the seeker, would be asking the question of the oracle, but you would also be watching, looking at this writing that says, "Know thyself." So I think it's very interesting for us to think about when we are working with psychic energy, healing energy, psychic insight, that we think about our own experience and a deeper understanding of our own relationship with the world via this part, the question that we have, right? So if we're asking a question of a psychic, that means there's a dream around it or pain around it, right? And to know thyself and to understand deeply as we can. And I'm going to add to that, to begin to radically love, not necessarily like give myself permission to be cruel to myself, unkind to myself. Well, I say that because I'm not unkind to others almost ever. I'm sure I am sometimes on accident, but I try not to be. Sorry, bump the camera again. But some people do need to learn how to be kind to others. Probably none of you watching. But therefore, what I mean is, you know, sometimes I don't mean radically accept myself like, oh, I'm perfect. I mean, understand deeply who I am and how I'm operating in space as deeply as I can. So then I can work with what I have. Then I can work with what I want. And the same goes for relationships. I think relationships are probably the greatest, let's call it spiritual growth tool, because in order to get into a relationship, cultivate a healthy relationship, love and nurture that relationship, grow that relationship, and if it's a romantic partner, stay in that relationship, or even certain friendships, stay in that relationship, you are probably going to have to spiritually grow. Right? Now, there's ways to live in a relationship long-term and not spiritually grow, but that might make you miserable. But when you are in a relationship and you are committed to growing, this is one of the greatest spiritual tools ever. And it goes back to what I was saying about how I believe all of our spirituality and our spiritual experience is about relationship, is about how we are reverberating with the sun, how the stars are reverberating with the cosmos, how the moon is reverberating with the sun and with the earth, right? How the tides and the water in our body is reverberating with the moon. It's relationship, right? You're looking at an astrological chart. You're looking at how the planets and the comets are relating to each other and to the signs that they are in within the houses that they are in. You're looking at the relationship of all of it, right? You're looking at the relationship. Now, yes, with an astrological chart, you're looking at it spatially, but if we were to bring it into the 3D or even the 5D or even start getting into all kinds of Ds, we're talking about many relationships, right? So, know thyself, the oracle. Not control thyself, not control others, not control the future, dictate the future. I mean, maybe that would be cool. I'm not sure. I think we've seen enough movies to understand that that's not all that it's cracked up to be, partially because of the laws of physics and because of who we are as humans. But listening, knowing thyself, knowing thy environment. Is that correct? Knowing thy environment? Yes, thy environment. Listening deeply. I want to listen to you, right? Like I said, the best actors, best musicians, best doctors listen. Why do I love my doctor? He's an amazing listener. Best therapists listen, right? Best singers listening. One to listen. All right, friends. So let's talk just a little bit about a simple practice that we're going to do for the month ahead. Usually going forward each month, the first episode, I will talk about the energy coming ahead. This month is going to be all about Venus, by the way. There's so much amazing Venusian energy. There's a lot going on this month. You know, maybe I'll try to slip some of that into my next episode. But this month we have so many opportunities to work with our relationships and our dreams. And I do mean our dreams in life, but I also really do mean our dreams at night. To get new downloads, this is going to be a month where we are going to be receiving a lot of new downloads, but not just for the receiving of the downloads, but as information about, I don't want to say replacement, but creation of the new, right? We're going to be, it's not necessarily that we're all going to be selling our old cars and getting a new car, but that would be the good metaphor, right? Or, you know, like I think more about, say, when a clam is outgrowing one shell, it's time to get a bigger shell, right? So, and it's going to especially be around things about how we feel about our relationships, not just our romantic relationships, but other business relationships, friendships, how are these things working for us? So the energy this month, well, it's going to be a little bit of a wild ride. But I want you to, if you wish, I want you to. Listen to me, bossy Erin. Well, get used to it. Okay. I just have a little simple practice that I came up with for something we can do for the month ahead. And I am calling it the June Intentions Map. Okay. So if you want to come back to this later, this will be posted and you can come back and do this later, or you can take note now. But what you're going to do is you're going to get a journal or, you know, your little iPad if you make notes. Whatever you use, your notes on your phone, email yourself, whatever you use, I don't know, the back of an envelope, doesn't matter. Wherever you write your things down, I don't care where you write it down, just you're going to want it somewhere where you can find it again at the end of this month. And I want you to take a few moments, first just to sit with the following questions, and then answer them. So, number one, the first question I want you to ask yourself is, what do I want to feel by the end of June? What do I want to feel by the end of June? Today is June 2nd. There's 30 days this month. So what do I want to feel by the end of June? Not so much what do I want to accomplish, because trust me, I'm a doer. The minute, like, if I have a session with a therapist and they say, so how are you feeling? I'll be like, oh, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, right? Like, I'm a doer. How do you want to feel, okay? Not what do you want to accomplish, what do you have on your list? You can get to that later, okay? Not how much money do you want to make, or, you know, what are you going to fix this month? It's just how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel more peaceful, creative, happy, exuberant, relaxed, serene, turned on, horny? I don't know. How do you want to feel? All right. That's where we start, number one. Number two, what am I ready to let go of this month? You know what I've been doing? I've been going through and doing my spring cleaning. Yes, I know it's June. It's still officially spring until June 21st. And I have been getting rid of clothes and shoes and perfume that I don't like. I don't, why am I holding onto perfume I don't like? Why? Tell me why. In case I ever decide I do like it. No, that the one of them gives me a headache. Well, why? Years I've had this perfume. And books. This is going to be the big one. We have so many books in this house. And many of them are because they are remain to be read. And there are books I will never get rid of. Of course, I will never get rid of my Anne of Green Gables collection or Hamnet. You know, the books that are special. No, of course not. If you're looking for a great book, I would highly recommend my beach read. It is that time of year. Bad Sugar Baby, if you like a kind of quirky, snarky rom-com. Fleabag meets Sex in the City. Anyway, Bad Sugar Baby. Go get it. It's also on Audible. But what are you ready to let go this month? I don't know if I'm ready to let go of the books that I am probably, like, am I ever really going to learn to speak Hindi? I have like 3 how to speak Hindi textbooks. I'm not kidding. Maybe I will. You know, the minute I throw them away is the minute I get some big opportunity to go to India for 2 years and live in a palace, and then I need those back. But you know what? The libraries and the bookstores, they're really not going anywhere. Okay, so what are you ready or at least willing to let go of this month? Habit, books that you don't need anymore, perfume that you hate. More importantly, a bad habit, a fear, a relationship dynamic that's getting in the way, right? Okay, so number one, how do you want to feel by the end of June? Number two, what are you willing to let go of or ready to let go of this month? Number three, what keeps asking for your attention? What keeps asking for your attention? And if you don't know right away, you can also write, I commit to slowing down enough to start paying attention. Because maybe you'll start hearing the same phrase in songs, or maybe you'll start seeing the same numbers, right? The same number patterns, 444, 1111. Or maybe you'll start seeing signs in the license plates in traffic, like I was talking about. Maybe something is trying to get your attention. What is it? And it could be a sign, or it could be your own inner intuition, or it could be, you know, is there something that keeps showing up? A dream or an idea or something you want to work on, a creative project you want to work on, right? Okay, so once you have these three written down, what do I want to feel by the end of June? What am I willing or ready to let go of? What keeps trying to get my attention? Write those down, or write down what you're willing to commit to regarding those three things. And then I really literally want you to just set it aside. Because if you've made a commitment to paying attention to something on paper, you will. If you already know what's trying to get your attention and you wrote it down, well, now your brain is going to consciously really say, oh, look at that, 444, 444, angels coming to me, right? Just for now, set it aside, because what you've done is you created a map for your consciousness and subconsciousness to focus on for this month. It knows that you want to feel, you know, all zhuzhed up by the end of June, whatever you want to feel. It knows that you are willing and ready to let go of all of the clutter in your house that's weighing you down, in my case, or, right? And, you know, when I say something like that, I don't know about you all, but all of a sudden, like, if I don't get rid of all the clutter in my house, something will happen where I have to. Like, these things, you know, like, and not always in a negative way. I'm just saying, like, something will happen, you know? And then number three, right, which is what's trying to get my attention. Just listen. You're already going to, just by having written it down, or just by saying, oh, I'm willing to tune into that, you're going to start listening. And the more you listen, the more you pay attention. And what you pay attention to grows, right? So if there's a pain that has been trying to get your attention, and you've been trying to ignore it. Now just may be the time to heal it. Okay? All right, everyone. So thank you for coming to my first and chitty chatty, very talkative first episode of The Modern Oracle with Erin Carrera on Wintu Radio on YouTube. I want to say that next week, like I said, we're going to be talking about love and relationships. I'll be interacting a little bit with the chats as they come in. If you have things you would like me to talk about, please feel free to come find me, reach out to me. You can find me on onetolisten.com/Erin. In fact, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. today, if you're watching live, June 2nd, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., I'm going to be lowering my rates pretty drastically for you if you want to come find me and call me or chat with me. That will be 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can also find me on Instagram at onetolistenerin, on Facebook at Erin at onetolisten, on TikTok, Erin, I think it's Erin C, but Erin Carrera. Come find me. I do cool relationship videos on TikTok. And I mean, just come find me. You can email me at onetolisten.com. I'd love to know what you would love me to talk about on the show. Feel free to reach out. And like I said, I do have 5 Tuesdays this month. So the 5th Tuesday of this month, we'll be doing mini readings. So you can come and put in your questions in the chat, and I would love to give you a mini reading then. Until we meet again next week, stay open, stay true to yourself, know thyself, and stay wild, right? Stay wild. All right, I will see you next week. And thank you to my producer, Serena. She is awesome. Shout out to Serena. Shout out to CA, who's coming on next. I'll see you next week. Bye.